Hey everyone, welcome to the Matt Report. I'm your host, Matt, and this is the show where this is not geek speak, okay? This is not your mother's WordPress podcast. This is interviewing real life entrepreneurs, people who are out there fighting the ups and downs of running a business, starting from scratch. We talk to real WordPress entrepreneurs, marketers, bloggers, designers, developers, anyone using WordPress who's making some money with it, so that they can share their story with us, how they did it, what were the tips that they can provide us so that we can do it just the same and run our own daily WordPress businesses. MattReport.com, MattReport.com/subscribe to join the mailing list. So I'll let you know when these awesome interviews come out. Today, I am joined by Adam Pickering. Adam, good to see you.
Good to see you too.
So you're a designer and entrepreneur of WordPress. You do some stuff like Mint themes, Soundstage theme, Appify, and you have a WP funded project, all sorts of good stuff to talk about. But give the folks a 2-minute drill of who you are, what you do on the day to day.
Okay. Well, day to day, my day to day job is support, as most people probably who are in the WordPress industry have to do. Is like a lot of my day is taken up by support. And then obviously I try to like do like a few hours of just pure design work if I can, that is. And so that's basically my day, but I have a few different projects that I kind of oversee. Just give you some information. I'm not a coder, so I don't code. I don't like I know CSS and things like that to a certain degree, but I'm not a PHP guy. So I have to rely on my teammates, my coworkers, and my partners to help me with that sort of stuff, which is great because they can do what they're great at, and I can do what supposedly I'm great at. So. I have a few different ventures that I do, which is the main one would be Mint Themes, which has been around since 2010. We started. I can go back even further if you like.
How did you come up with Mint Themes? Where did that spawn from? Who's on the team and so on?
Okay, so how I kind of got into this WordPress stuff was at the time I was a sound engineer and I toured with a girl band actually at the time and we came to Canada and that's actually where I live right now and the websites that were out there at the time for bands for musicians I just didn't really like the look of them and after sort of finishing that job as a sound engineer and trying to do some web design type work, I found that there was a need for WordPress themes for bands. So that's how Band Themer started. So I had that as my first WordPress type of like entity, if you want to call it. And we did pretty well. It's basically just the landing page now for Mint Themes if you go to bandthemer.com. And I actually work with Ryan Emmel on that one from WP Candy. He helped code. I designed it. He helped code it. And that was quite a few years ago. And then after that, I always wanted to do niche type or a niche, as the Americans say, WordPress stuff. I wasn't interested in doing the mass type like portfolio themes or whatever. I found that I was more into doing something that was kind of a bit more niche in terms of what was out there. And then we kind of myself and Phil Johnston, who is now my co-founder of Mint Themes, we started a little site called churchthemer.com, which was WordPress themes for churches. So it was kind of the same thing as Band Themer, but the reason why we did that instead of like creating like a Mint theme site is because we just needed the traffic. We were like, oh, let's just buy a domain that says church in it and then WordPress or something so that we would we would get to number one in Google within a couple of days because there was no one else doing it, sort of thing. So
did you see, and this is a good point for the folks who may be even thinking about jumping into the theme business. You like to go after the niche or niche themes. Your story is a little bit different than you weren't doing the typical WordPress consulting, freelancing.
Mm-hmm.
You found a need that you mm-hmm. that you had your own need. You satisfied your own need, and then you turned it into a niche that you yeah. that you resold. How effective was it going for a niche right out of the bat? Right out of the gate, you say that you ranked number one on Google within a few days. Is that still the case?
I think we're number two still for Band. If you type in WordPress themes for Bands, for example, I think we're number two still. It did pay off. Like I think for us, doing something niche is just more exciting, almost like because you're doing something that maybe someone else hasn't done yet, or maybe they've done it but not that great, or. Like, not saying that we did great stuff back in the day either, but we just kind of wanted to fill that need for what we wanted and then see if everyone else was interested, and they were. And then that kind of kickstarted the next business from there, which was churches. So because there was not a ton of church themes around at the time. So that's how kind of church theme was that idea. We kind of cloned it, if you want to call it, and then we went on to do the next thing. And we found a lot of success in doing that model. It's a little bit different today, but that's how we kind of started.
That's awesome. The church themes, you had the soundstage theme. Now, it wasn't called the soundstage theme back then. It was a different name.
The soundstage theme is actually part of Mint Themes.
Okay.
Because we kind of moved all of our catalog of themes over to Mint Themes. And the church theme and the band theme, it's just kind of like a landing page.
Gotcha.
For people to come and visit and then see the themes and then go and buy over on our website. So that's how it kind of works now. Actually, soundstage was we did that last year in around October. We released that, so that hasn't been around that too long.
Gotcha. What was the tipping point where you said, and you went from the first theme and then into the church themes? What was that tipping point that you said, you know what, this is going to be a really scalable business. We're going to make some money with this. Let's make that leap to the next theme and then eventually Mint Themes.
Well, the whole idea of just creating Mint Themes wasn't out because we thought that we were going to make a huge site and like there was going to be tons of traffic and blah blah blah. We actually just didn't want to keep creating niche sites and having to create blogs on top of each one and stuff like that. So that was the main reason we were like, I had a company back in the day like called Mint Idea, which was like a web development company. I just did websites, really terrible HTML, like stuff like that. And that name Mint, I guess, kind of came along with that. And that's why we did Mint Themes. But the reason why we started Mint Themes was because we just didn't want to keep creating these clone websites of every niche that we'd go into. We wouldn't want to have like, you know, business themer or whatever else. We just wanted to create because at that time we were getting enough traffic coming in that we felt like that Mint Themes would be successful on its own instead of having to create a different brand each time.
Right. And, and what you're doing for the folks that are kind of just starting off in this and kind of dabbling with the idea is you're really focusing the brand. You're creating a new brand in a sense, a new brand that has everything under the same umbrella. But what this is also affording you is the ability to market everything under this one roof, because as we know now, a lot of it is about content marketing. A lot of it is, the old way of saying it is inbound marketing. As funny as that is, it's only been a couple of years. is there a particular strategy in marketing that you're going after with Mint Themes now that you're putting all this stuff under one roof that you can share with folks?
I think as you grow and have those niche sites, and now that we've turned them in from like an actual website to just more of a landing page, people know the brand Mint Themes now more than like the other things out there. So Mint Themes as a name, as a brand, has become more like, I'm not saying we're huge in any way, but like we have enough to sustain as a, you know, as a full-time business for both of us. Plus we hire a support guy. I guess that's how we've been able to grow. It's just basically, take that traffic that we were getting on those other websites and then funnel it into Mint Themes. Yep. And then that name, Mint Themes, be synonymous, mm-hmm. if you want to call it, for niche type projects, right. products. Sorry.
Are you doing any kind of online marketing, like blogging, like content creation?
I do a fair bit of blogging on Mint Themes. We create plugins. We have a ton of different plugins that are just about to be released in the next couple of weeks, actually, that do a bunch of different things that also help, you know, with traffic and stuff like that. Like, we created an Isotope plugin for WordPress that integrates with Easy Digital Downloads and WooCommerce. Mm-hmm. So that brings a lot of traffic into our site because it's free.
Could you explain that plugin to folks that might not know about it?
So Isotopes, it's like a jQuery library done by Metaphysi. I don't know if you have seen their site. It's just basically like a masonry plugin that basically different content can be changed depending on your width of your browser, and you can even filter different. We actually use it on mintthemes.com. That's how we a lot of our stuff that we create is a lot of because we just need it ourselves and then end up having to release it. So if you go to the themes page on mintthemes.com, you can see that every time you click, instead of refreshing the browser like some sites you're on, you just click on, church themes or whatever. It will then just move those into the correct position.
Very cool.
That's basically what Isotopes is. Yeah.
Very cool.
But other content stuff we've done is blog writing, plugin development, and then partnering with like other major blogs to do cross promotion type stuff. So that's our main.
Out of the web marketing, is there one thing that's really hitting a home run for you?
I would say plugins is if you release a free plugin and you're looking to get traffic to your site, it's a really easy, quick way to, and especially if there's not something else out there like that, then you can, like, I think for example, we did that Isotope plugin. We were number one or two in Google the next day. I created like an icon pack, watercolor icon pack. Like, if you can give free things away that like people can use, I'm using it in a design anyways, so I might as well give it away as well.
Yeah.
Then that definitely helps, like, yeah, traffic wise.
I think WordPress as a business allows us the luxury to create almost like giving away, having a free app in the App Store for iOS or Android. We have the ability to give away free themes,
yeah,
free plugins, and that's a great way to draw traffic, as long as it's not just another free,
mm-hmm,
thing that, you know, there's no regard for.
Yeah.
So you
do have to be careful, though. Like, not always, not every customer is going to be a customer who, or a person who's going to turn in from a person who loves your plugin to a paid customer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's obviously, when you're creating a plugin, if you can create it around a certain thing that your products use, perhaps they will become a customer of yours. Like, we have some new things that we're coming out with that kind of go around what we're about to release. So the plugin is a complement to the theme or whatever we're releasing. So, they may look at that, but, don't hold your breath if you release a free thing and then you're counting on people to buy your product or whatever.
Right. You bring up a very good point. One of my guests, and I won't name the name, but if you go back and listen to the interviews, you can certainly find him. He mentioned a number, a very low number, of 1% is a conversion on a free plugin that he gives out versus the paid plugin. And we got into a good discussion about paying for a plugin and even paying for a theme now. You're not really buying
the product. You're buying the support. Yeah,
you're buying the support. And you say, don't hold your breath if you think you're going to all of a sudden start making, hundreds, thousands, if tens of thousands of dollars. The conversion numbers are really low. But if priced right and you have many of them, you can get yourself a nice business going. One of the questions I love to ask folks like you who are creating plugins and themes is, do you think we're not charging enough for the support fee for these products?
I think it was a race to the bottom for a while. See how far we can not charge. We probably are on the higher end of what people charge. We on our website, mintthemes.com, we charge $79, which is probably one of the highest I've seen. And we don't have any problems.
We'll just pause for a second because I think Skype just paused for a second. Okay. So I think you're back.
Let me just shut off Dropbox because I know that causes problems sometimes. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Okay.
So you were saying that you are on the higher end of theme pricing, $79 to what you've normally seen.
Yeah. So yeah, I think the fact that we've charged $79 from the get go, I think has helped us grow and also just be able to be our release great products at the same time. Because if we're just going on price, then it's basically that would be a huge mistake if we didn't charge what we think it's worth and our time. If you're just wanting to charge I see some themes out there for $2 or things like that, but maybe that's great because it's just a simple blog or something like that. But what we're trying to do is more add functionality to the plugin that we couple the theme with, and then release something great.
Right. I think I think you hit the nail on the head. If you're focused on building a great product and you're not racing to the bottom, then you shouldn't worry about the 79 and or whatever number it is you come up with. You said that you don't have any problems. Do you randomly get an email to say, hey, this is way too much, or why aren't you, $29?
Yeah.
And if you do, how do you handle that?
True. I have got a one or two over the years, people saying, wow, your theme prices are $79. That's, give me a coupon or or whatever it is. And I just say to them, we're like real people, real, we'll respond to your issues if you have any really quickly. We have the stats that back that up too. We use Zendesk, so we know how quickly we're responding to people. That's what we're trying to go for. Quick responses to issues and good quality code. That's our differentiate. So, when people come to us and say that, maybe they're just not the right customer for this. And that's actually a great thing. Not because I don't want customers and I don't perhaps, but maybe they just don't see the value in my time and what we've done. So,
yeah.
I'm happy to refer to other people who are, less expensive out there. Mm-hmm. But it's just a personal opinion. I think our themes are, and my time and my developer's time and Phil, who works with, I think we should charge that because, why not? I think prices should be even higher than they are. Right. Automatic just came out with a $150 theme or $200 theme.
Right.
That's not surprising. If businesses like big corporations are using these templates, and there's been a lot of work and, quality development in the product, then I don't think it should be an issue for people to pay. For example, we just created a crowdfunding theme. So it's a WordPress crowdfunding theme that is coupled with Easy Digital Downloads. as an extension, and we've also created a plugin for it. Now we're selling it on ThemeForest just to see how, you know, things go, and the price is over there. The maximum price is, I think, $60, which is better than like $45. But what we've tried to do with that project was a lot of the functionality is actually in an open source plugin as an extension. So we're hoping that people will, you know, want to add features and be a community around the crowdfunding platform that we've created, so that we can kind of offset some of the development. I don't know if that's the right thing to do, but we're open sourcing the plugin, so anyone can use it, and anyone can go ahead and use it in their own theme or whatever. So
there's great.
Every different thing, there's a different way of looking at how to crowdsource help. You know, if you're gonna charge a bit less, then maybe think about what you can do to open source a certain part of your project that you're working on.
Right.
So
I think there's tons of things at play, and WordPress as a whole, as a community, as software, as an ecosystem, it's still maturing. It's still growing. You know, it's still up and to the right as far as, you know, graphs are concerned. And we're starting to see more adoption from, let's say, a small business owner who has no idea about anything on the web. They just, you know, did like a one-click install for WordPress, yep. And now they have to go find a theme that fits their need. So they don't understand all the labor that goes into creating a theme. So they mm-hmm. see free themes, and they say $29 themes, and then all of a sudden they see a $79 theme, and they're like, wow, why is this, you know, I don't understand why this is so expensive.
Yeah.
So we have all these new people coming in the door. As a community, as an ecosystem, we're still trying to figure out, okay, where's the balance here? Like you mm-hmm. said, we had a race to the bottom, but now things look like they're going up a little bit. We're getting good quality stuff from folks like you and others. So it's starting to raise the bar again, which is great. Do you think that, let's talk about the marketplace. Did you ever think of going directly to a marketplace before doing Mint Themes? Were you on the marketplace already? What are your thoughts on jumping into a marketplace like a ThemeForest?
So this is something that, outside of Mint Themes, I've just decided to test something, a few different things out there on marketplaces. So, for example, we have a new brand called App Themer, which creates application type themes for WordPress. The first one would be the crowdfunding theme. I think when you're doing something as crazy, as big as that, like, it's pretty crazy, like a crowdfunding, like it's basically like a Kickstarter or Indiegogo type of functionality that we've built. I think you want to try and get it out there as quickly as possible, like as seen as many eyeballs as possible, instead of, you know, just a lonely website over in, you know, nowhere. This is completely like an ongoing thing. I'm not like an expert at marketplaces. I've only just started putting my foot in there, sort of thing. So I'm not totally versed in everything. But from what I can tell, the customers actually really appreciate that the price that we've been able to push it up to. Because they can see the quality that we've done, and then that updates are done through the plugin. I think that's one of the problems right now with marketplaces, that every time there's an update, you have to push it through to the marketplace, and then there's a quite a long waiting period. I know Envato are actually trying to address that issue. They have like an updater for themes that is coming out soon, that you'll be able to package this library or whatever with your theme, and then it will update it automatically through your dashboard, just like WordPress.com, .org. But a lot of the functionality that for the crowdfunding theme, we've packaged it into the plugin. So anytime there's a bug or whatever, we just update it through WordPress.org. So that's been, so we can really push out things quickly when people are, you know, complaining, oh, you know, this thing doesn't work or whatever, we can just fix it instantly. We don't have to upload it to Word into the ThemeForest site, and then they have to review it and everything. People can instantly get. So that's something that I've liked in terms of the way we've done this project. Instead of the standalone theme, where all the functionality is in the theme, and then you have to update the theme. So
yeah. When I interviewed Pippin a little while ago, he said that ThemeForest was one of the greatest things for him starting off, because it did allow him to have the eyeballs, allow the traction. Of course, there was, you know, you have to split the cost and whatever the percentage is, depending on, you know, what level you're at the marketplace. But he said it was very valuable to him to have that access to customers.
Yeah.
So, curveball question. Are you worried now that you might not be able to speak at a WordCamp because you're affiliated with ThemeForest and that whole deal going on in the WordPress community?
I think over the next couple of weeks you'll hear, or I don't know, they've already announced that they're going to be giving the option to give authors the ability to sell their product under 100% GPL. Like right now it's split, right? So in the next few weeks that won't be a problem, but it does concern me. Like when I first did it, like I didn't realize, but when you upload something to ThemeForest, you actually have to include their licensing within the theme, because we usually just include the regular GPL GNU type license it within our readme file or whatever. So then I uploaded it, and then it was like, oh, they're like, sorry, can't accept this. Please upload the correct licensing. So I think that obviously is going to be resolved. I think it's been talked about a lot now. So I think we're coming to the end of where all marketplaces have the option to like Mojo themes. They've just gone 100% GPL on their marketplace. Mm-hmm. Creative Market, they've been there for a while. Mm-hmm. ThemeForest, you know, they're obviously a bigger monster, if you want to call it. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot more, you know, things that have to probably, you know, have to be sorted out before they can just flip the switch sort of thing. So, yeah, it does concern me, but I think things are going to work themselves out.
good. Community in general, let's talk about the WordPress community. How do you stay involved with the community aside from putting out awesome stuff like this? WordCamps, do you speak at WordCamps already? What do you do for the community?
So I do a bunch of different little things and maybe bigger type stuff. I've been to quite a few different WordCamps and been on a panel or whatever, things like that. So, you know, every year I try and attend the main central WordCamp, which is SF, like San Francisco. I don't really chat or like do a talk or anything like that, but I use that time just to hang out with people in the lobby, or get to know people, get to people, my peers in the business or whatever. I don't really attend any of the the talks. I just hang out in the cafe. Like the whole weekend I just hang out with like the guys from Organic Themes, Jason from Press 75, like a bunch of us were hanging out. So that's the sort of thing when I'm there. I've been to Grand Rapids and a few other different WordCamps. Nice. But in day-to-day things, I actually try and, like, this might sound strange, but, like, I hang out in the Reddit community over there on the subboard, which is WordPress. So a lot of people just need beginner help for things. So I try and get on there and just help people out on the Reddit boards there. Yeah. And, there's actually in Toronto, there's not, like where I'm from, there's not a ton of events actually happening. Mm-hmm. Like I know there's a meetup every so often for WordPress meetup, but I think it's more like very beginnery sort of stuff. So
it's funny you say two things, and as we're recording this, I have just released an interview with a marketing guy, John Morgan, who we actually did a theme for, and he talks about, as far as a business and marketing side of being an entrepreneur and running a business, is not going to WordCamps, right? Because your customers aren't there.
Yeah.
Your customers are there, potentially, because you're buying themes. But it's funny to hear that his exact angle was, well, you're only going to go to a WordCamp and hang out with your buddies, right? You're not there to pitch customers. And exactly as you just said, you don't even go to the talks. You hang out with folks, which is great. I mean, it's fine. Mm-hmm. And plus, you have a product that people at WordCamps are also interested in.
Mm-hmm.
But the other point you brought up was hanging out in the subreddit WordPress on Reddit.com. But you're helping people. Have you ever filtered clients that way to say, hey, look, I'm the guy who makes these themes. I just helped you out, and now you're buying a theme from me.
Like, do you mean if like a Mint Themes customer went over to Reddit and then asked for a question?
maybe somebody said, how do I? I'm launching a small business website. Where's the best place to start? And you gave them some help, but they also saw your profile and said, oh, this guy is the, you know, one of the designers for Mint Themes. Let me just go buy one of his themes because it works great.
That has happened, actually. Yeah, like a few people have actually, because we actually do a few extensions, like aside from Mint Themes, we've actually developed quite a few extensions for easy digital downloads for like payment gateways and Zendesk integration and things like that for Pippin's plugin. So people were like, oh, you know, I need a system that, you know, kind of like, you know, I can sell ebooks or whatever. And then I found out that they've actually, I guess, gone into my profile and found me over on his site at Pippin's plugins, like Easy Digital Downloads website. So yeah, that's happened in the past. But a lot of the questions are very like, how do I add a featured image and things like that. They're very beginnery type things, which, you know, doesn't take very long to answer. Mm-hmm. I find the WordPress.org a lot is very busy. I try to. There's other places that people are looking for support. So you know.
Definitely.
Reddit is a cool community too, so I like the people on there. So
awesome. One last question to kind of wrap up this more formal interview segment. If you could go back in time 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, what would you do differently for your WordPress business? Is there any ingredient or process you think you might change knowing what know now?
Yeah, I actually wrote a whole blog post on like learning from our mistakes and what we did completely wrong. You can actually take a look over on the Mint Themes blog, but I'll just go into a few little things that we've gone, and only over the last couple of years we've really like started to learn this information, and it took a long time coming, but we're actually starting to go in the right direction now. We're definitely not perfect. We're every day we're learning from other people, even our users. We learn so much from them. But how we developed themes back in the day around 2010, we would package everything with the theme. So like every little bit of functionality, like for example, the church theme, we would have like the podcasting would be included in the theme. We'd have the every custom post type under the sun in the theme, like everything was just a beast to update. So as we've grown and learned that, you know, having to update all these themes, you know, every theme you add is actually, you're creating 10 times more work for yourself. So having a lean theme, and then everything in the functionality, either you can find functionality through other people's plugins or you create them yourself, then that is the best way to go, like in our opinion. Like everyone has their own way they want to develop themes. But for us, in terms of being able to distribute updates, fix issues quickly, and turnaround time on even theme development is 10 times quicker now, before this realization that we should put everything in, that everything should be, all the functionality should be in the plugin. So, that's basically the main learning thing that we've done is that, you know, every time you think of a new feature, you say to yourself, should this be in a plugin? Should this be in a plugin? You just keep saying that to yourself.
Right.
Because otherwise, you'll just keep going back to, oh, I should put this in a theme option, or, you know, like things like that. And then you're just creating so much work for yourself. When you say you have a catalog of, we've only got like 12 themes on Mint Themes. Imagine if we had, I don't know, like 100 or something, it would be insane to have to, you know, we'd have to just hire one guy to update the themes instead of creating plugins that have all the functionality. And then the theme is just basically a style sheet, some JS, and maybe a template file. That's basically all the theme is. And that's all it should be, really. Themes should just look the appearance. The appearance is the theme. The plugins are what drives the actual theme.
Right.
And the more people get into that mindset, it's coming down. Like, people are really starting to, okay, this is how I should be doing it. Then people will be more successful, and support levels will go down, and we've seen that already. Mm-hmm. So that's been one of our main mistakes, is the whole baking everything into the theme is totally the wrong way to go.
That's an awesome story and a great lesson for the people that are listening. You know, a theme is a theme. It's I'd say 9 times out of 10 people are buying this because of the way it looks. I mean, this is the way it looks. I mean, they're I'm sure they're, you know, worried about how they're going to put it together once they get it. But like you said, you know, let's focus on just making it a theme that looks the way it's supposed to look, and then we'll worry about the function side afterwards. That's great. That is very good. So look, if people haven't learned anything from this episode, I don't know, they weren't listening. There's been tons of great stuff from starting out from your very first themes to moving over to Mint Themes, some of the marketing stuff. It's all very good information. So folks, if you want to go to mattreport.com/subscribe, stay in the loop, and I'll send you an email when all these interviews come out. Let's jump into the last two segments. First, what's in your toolbox? What piece of software besides WordPress do you use on a day-to-day basis to get the job done? Evernote, Gmail, Photoshop, what do you use?
So even though I'm not a programmer, I have to use Sublime. I use Sublime Text for CSS stuff, looking at PHP stuff. I know enough to be dangerous, but that's my text editor. That's what I use.
Yep.
I use Transmit for FTP. I love that program. It looks beautiful and it works well. Obviously Illustrator and Photoshop is where my day-to-day pretty much that's what's always open. Mm-hmm. I've only just bought a brand new Retina Mac, so everything is kind of new to me. So like designing in Photoshop is kind of crazy, so I have to use an external monitor, but that's a different story.
Yeah.
Versions for uploading plugins to the WordPress.org repository, because I don't have a clue what SVN is or how to do commands. Just dragging and dropping things into using the versions app to the WordPress.org repository is probably the best way to go. And then for time tracking and project management stuff, we don't use an app, we just use Trello. So that's where I'm in a lot of the time is in Trello, which is a really great way to project manage your various project that you're working on. Because I have many different brands and different things I have to keep. And that way it keeps out of email, because I don't like email.
Right. So. Yeah. No, I agree. Well, that's an awesome list. Thanks for sharing that. The lightning round. Well, I will ask you a series of quick questions. You'll have a series of quick answers. The one plugin you cannot live without.
The one plugin that I can't live without, I know this might sound crazy, but because a lot of people out there seem to not really like it, but I like Jetpack a lot, like in terms of what it can do for customers, for CSS edits, being able to change the CSS in your design without having to create a child theme or whatever, right? So that way you're upgrading your theme, but you're still keeping I'm sure there's other CSS editor type plugins out there that don't use ton of stuff that Jetpack does, but I do like Jetpack. And then for did you just want one or like?
Well, it's supposed to be one, but if you've got a second favorite, you can go and throw it out there.
Well, I have like a list of five that I love when I'm, because we do a lot of beta testing. So I'll just really quickly.
Sure.
The first one is Monster Widget, which is basically it puts every single widget that you can think of in the sidebar, so I can make sure that all of the styling is there for the theme. VIP scanner. So if you're going to submit your WordPress theme up to .com, they want you to run it through the VIP scanner. So which is kind of like theme check. Jetpack, I've already said that. And then probably WordPress beta tester to test out all the latest versions of WordPress. So
that's awesome.
That's not five, but you know.
But still, it's a great pack. Good job. A favorite WordPress or business book?
A business book. It's kind of old school right now. Like the book is, like, in terms of design. Like I don't really read a ton of WordPress stuff, to be honest. Like books, I'm more into the design sort of stuff. So it's kind of an old book, but it's called "Don't Make Them Think." I can't remember who wrote it.
I do have but that.
That's one of my mantras. Like, don't make, you know, even with like when I'm testing out a plugin or how it works, I'm, you know, trying to make it as easy as possible in the back end.
Yep.
And then also for the theme as well. So the design. That's one of my business type books that or design books that I like.
Yeah. When I interviewed, it's not posted yet, at least at this time, but Rafal from Studio Press, the designer behind a lot of the Studio Press themes, I think he actually had the same answer.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
A quote you live or run your business by?
A quote or. I should have been a bit more prepared.
That's okay. That's all the action of the lightning round.
Yeah, exactly. I guess the main sort of thing I have in my mind all the time when I'm doing things is that, you know, create a product like that I would want. So something that I'm going to find useful, maybe other people will find useful. So that's kind of my business mantra. Like when I'm doing a thing, like a lot of people have the struggle of knowing what to do or which direction they should go in. Just create something that you would love to use. Like, you know, like maybe it doesn't work out, but like for me, it has worked out that way. So like creating something that I personally would want to use versus looking out there and seeing what else is really popular and whatever else, and then trying to emulate someone else.
Right.
So just creating something that that I would find useful.
Awesome. Sometimes this next question is a similar answer, but the best business advice you've ever received?
Well, I would guess probably would be to get yourself a mentor, someone who you can go and chat to, learn from their mistakes. I guess that's kind of the thing that I've learned is being able to find someone maybe not in the same realm of what you do, but someone you can just look up to and know that, you know, they've been through challenging times and they can give you advice. So like having someone like that is very key.
Yeah, I totally agree. What's the longest a client project has ever taken?
Client project? I haven't done client work in quite a long time. So
what's the longest a theme has ever taken to develop? Or design?
I would say that crowdfunding plugin and theme took quite a long time to do. It was probably 2.5 months.
Okay.
Which probably doesn't sound that long, but like I don't know if it is. But
when you're hammering away at it, it's
when your day is only that thing, yep. Then it starts to get a bit tiring.
Yeah. If you had to switch to another CMS, what would it be?
It would probably be like a very simple CMS, like Jason created one called Droplets that is like a more of a blogging thing. Mm-hmm. And I know he has leaflets that's just about something along those lines where simplicity is the key. Awesome. You know, if I had to, yeah.
Who should I interview next?
Who should you interview next? I don't know. Have you interviewed anyone from like security or like the security guys? Like, you know, maybe I would. You know, they're really knowledgeable guys, yep. and it's not just WordPress stuff. So,
yeah,
I would say maybe someone like that.
Definitely. And lastly, what's the one question that I didn't ask you that I should have?
Oh dear.
If I asked them all, then I did a good
job. Yeah, I guess you're a really good interview.
Awesome.
I can't think of anything.
Awesome. Well, Adam, you know, this has been an awesome show. Like I said, this isn't your typical, you know, WordPress geek talk. We're here to talk about WordPress business, some of the passions that these entrepreneurs have running WordPress businesses, and then giving folks some feedback and some ideas on how they can run their own WordPress business. So thanks for joining the show. Plug away. Where can people find you on the web and online?
Well, they can find me at Twitter, which is @AdamPickering_. I couldn't get Adam Pickering. Guy wouldn't give it to me. And adampickering.com, mintthemes.com, and appthemer.com. Check out those sites.
Awesome. Thanks again, Adam. Everyone, find Adam on Twitter and online. Go say thanks. Check out his stuff. He's doing great work. Thanks, Adam.
Great. Thanks.